I can cut hair. Technically, I'm a barber. My dad was a barber. I cut hair, and I went to college, Maranatha Baptist Bible College, 1978. Anybody born? 1978, all you were not. Yeah, thank you. That's one. Oh, you made me miss my train of thought. My train derailed. I'm a butcher. I'm not a preacher. I'm a butcher. Some guys cut hair. Some guys do surgery. Your pastor's a surgeon. I'm a butcher. You ever seen a butcher cut me? He didn't, like, you know, wear a mask. And he just runs it through the saw. And slabs it open, cuts it, you know, scoots it to another bin. It's my calling. God's called me to be a butcher. So you guys have had a lot of surgeons, and you're about to be butchered today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, my goal, I don't care. This isn't about, and my wife's here, so I can't lie. I always try to take her with me. I took her to class with me. I taught that was the young homemakers class this morning. And cooking 101. We had a good time. I have been in Lakeville, Indiana for 34 years. When we went to college, we were married. We had our kids in college, Maranatha Baptist Bible College. And I know it's Maranatha Baptist University. I didn't go there. I went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College. And Dr. Cederholm was a personal friend of mine. He's a good friend. I was honored. I didn't realize this when I was there. Everybody tells me this, that I had an unusual experience. Everybody that taught me at Maranatha was a missionary or a preacher or an evangelist. And I spent a lot of time with the president, Dr. Cederholm. And Dr. Cederholm would always say, "Brother," I would drive him. He called me. He called me Brother Rowley. When I was in college, I weighed 350 pounds. I wasn't taller. So you must have been 9'8". I wasn't taller. And I was healthy. And someone said to me, "Wait a minute. You're in Bible college. You've got 4 kids, a wife. You work, you preach, you're cutting hair. How'd you gain weight?" I said, "There is a God." Dr. Cederholm would say, he called me Brother Rowley. "Brother," he'd say, I'd drive him to the, he'd call the men's dorm. He'd say, "Get Brother Rowley on the phone." I'd be down in the basement, the barber shop. Some guy would come down, some kid your age, and he'd say, "The guy on the phone says he's Dr. Cederholm." I hung up on him. I said, "Man, that was him." I said, "Run over there. Tell him you hung up on him." He said, "I'm not running over there. Tell him I hung up on you." I'd say, "Well, get him on the phone. Call." I'd say, "Call." And so, but he'd call in. And so I'd answer the payphone. This is pre-cell phone days. And he'd go, "Brother Rowley, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm cutting hair." He'd go, "Close her down." I go, "Why?" He'd go, "You're driving me to an ordination." I prayed after going to ordinations with him that he would never be at my ordination. He was a butcher. Smartest man I've ever met. He'd say to me, "Brother Rowley, you preach the word however you need to preach it. You just preach it. Don't do anything but preach the word." I'm honored to be in this hospital, a meat cutter in a fine hospital like this. But you know why I'm here? Because it's the word of God. Same word of God everybody else uses. 1 Corinthians 6. I want you to remember something. I'm going to do my best that you'll remember it. For the homemakers class, I had 9 points. Sewing, I think it was sewing and embroidery, and yeah, we had fun. We make like those songs. I don't sing a lot, but I amen because they're true to me. I've been saved a long time. I've been saved 46 years. I was lost. I went to jail when I was 12. I did drugs. I drank booze. I played in a rock and roll band. I had long hair. Look, if you've seen pictures, I was lost. I wasn't unsaved. I was lost. I was evil, wicked. I got saved. I asked God to not let me get over it. Some of you sing like you're over it. Sorry. I'll never be back. My goal is not to be invited back. My goal is to help you. Hey, when the doctor cuts on you, do you go, thank you, cut me deeper. Cut me again, just cut me all over. I just don't want you to get over it. You're in Bible college. Some of my best friends, the most spiritual guys I knew, dropped out of Bible college. I went back to see one, the most godly man I knew. I said, hey, is he here? They said, well. I said, no, is he here? They said, yeah, he's living with his girlfriend. I said, hold on. It can happen to you. You can get over it. Don't get over it. You cannot impress God. The piano, by the way, was great. I don't know if that was a recording. That was great. Or a player piano. God doesn't need your talent. God doesn't hear that and go, she's good. When God sees Dr. Mitchell, he goes, he's tall. Too tall. What went wrong? When God hears you sing, he doesn't say, wow. I was telling your pastor and your president, I have the gift of lungs. God knows I can't sing. God didn't hear me and go, that is mighty sweet. You know what God says? Listen to me. You know what he says when I sing? He means it. He means it. Now, I'm warning you, you're going to get over it. Don't let that happen. Ask my wife. He like this all the time? Yep. When we're out to eat, I'm preaching. She'll say, I said in the knitting class this morning. She'll go, stop yelling. I'm talking. I'll be in Meijer. Someone will come over to grocery and go, I heard you. I was on the other side. Can I tell you something? I didn't one day say, I'm going to be loud. Everybody else was loud. Hey, the gays are loud. I was watching, I flipped and saw a drag race. And that's like a waste, isn't it? Roar! Over. I mean, the whole point's to be fast, then it's over. You'd like that. Some of you'd like that for preaching, wouldn't you? I'm wasting a lot of time because the message is very simple. 1 Corinthians. Did you find it yet? Some of you got to use your cheaters. Verse 19 and verse 20. You know, hey, look, you know this. I'm a butcher. You've eaten meat before. I'm not here to make you a gourmet meal. I'm here to change your life. I want your life different. I don't want it to be the same. I want you to quit being bored. Hey, I said in a cooking class this morning, I hate black socks. They're so plain. Hot peppers. I didn't buy those for you. You're not worth it. These verses written. Sometimes we read the Bible and we go, yeah. Look at what it says. I read slow. See, that's our problem. A lot of times we say, you know any verses? Yes, I do. John 3:16. Because the Lord gave us ever life. What a blessing. That's what's happened to our Christianity. New Bible College. Love it. Enjoy it. Man, these people that teach you love you. They're trying to learn you. Trying to help you. Sometimes they make mistakes and ask me to come. Paul writes, notice how verse 19 starts. This is why I love this verse. What? See, here's how you read it. What? Not what it says. I looked it up in the Italian. It's what? He wants our attention. He wants us to realize that what he's about to say, they ought to get. They already ought to have it. When you sing, God isn't saying, man, are they good? It isn't about you being good. He's used to good. He wants something that means it. You love him because you love him no matter what. He wants you burning at the stake, singing. Now, oh, this is lovely. We think, yeah, when you burn the stake, supposed to thank God for that, right? You don't thank God you're burning the stake. You thank God that he's bigger than that. Thank God he can get you through that. Some of you, when you get older, you'll get what I mean. I loved it when my kids had kids. They tell me all the antics that their kids do, and they're waiting for some dad response, and I went, good. I can't believe you did that, Dad. I can't believe it. And Dad, you wouldn't believe it. I said, good. Dad, I said, good, double good. Hope they drive you nuts. I love my kids. But they're kids. You don't spank a kid for being a kid. You spank them for being bad. Paul says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? That just rocks my world. God can live anywhere he wants. When I was sleeping all night, know where God was? Say, up in heaven. No, he wasn't. He's in my bed. In me. That's what it says. Everywhere I go, God goes. When I'm alone, God's there. Nobody will see this. Oh, you are so dumb. Let me tell you something. I don't drink. I don't drink booze. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't do drugs. Haven't this week. See how you can misconstrue that? I don't cheat on my wife. She cheats on me. She listens to other preachers. God, I'm sorry. I still don't understand that I could ask Jesus to save me and he'd save me. That he'd die for me. Man, I don't have to be good. I was good once. Long as a drag race. Boom! It's over. So God says it isn't about being good. It's about believing. And you've got to learn to believe him, not just to get you into heaven, but to get you through life. How am I going to make it? How am I going to pay my bill? How am I going to pass that class? How am I going to stay awake? How am I going to get that paper done? You ought to go to God about that. You ought to pray about everything. You think God goes, what do you want? Why do we have that? Man, God is just so anxious for us to pray. But we act like God is like, what? Wait, let me mute it. Man, God, if he bought you, Romans 8, if Christ came, what won't he do for you? You need to live like that. So Paul says, know ye not that your body, this is one of the verses, I'm not picking on anybody, okay? I graduated from college. Ron Comfort, evangelist Ron Comfort, was in my home with Dr. Whitaker. I'd already been preaching for 3 years in evangelism while I was in college. I said, Dr. Comfort, he had given me meetings. He had had pastors call me. He had called me and said, hey, I got a meeting I can't do. Would you do it? And a lot of those guys, God, look, I missed some of my blessings. God's been awfully good to me. Doc Comfort's in my home. I'm 350 pounds. I said, Doc, I'm graduated now. What? He said, brother, you already been preaching. He said, just keep her going. And I said, is there anything you think I should do? Wrong question. He said, I think you ought to learn to control a fork. He saw me a year later. He was with Frank Garlock. He saw me. He said, Vito! Frank, look at this. I want to tell you something. And he said, come over here. He said, this guy was double the size. Frank said, how'd you do it? I said, he shamed me. He didn't say anything. I said, Doc, God shamed me. I think the Bible says, I'm just a butcher. I think the Bible says whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, to all the glory of God. So Paul says, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You say, my brain hurts from studying. Don't worry about it. It's not your brain. You say, my eyes hurt from reading. Don't worry about it. Not your eyes. Say, my body's worn out, not your body. You're doing this for God. So if you're feeling that you just go to God, go, hey, I need strength. Either he can or he can't. I mean, won't hurt you to test him. What's God going to do? Get mad at you and go, that's it. Man, he listen to me. He's your father. You belong to him. He doesn't just own you. Okay, you're kind of fragile. You were in the cooking class. Listen to me. I shouldn't tell on Belinda, but she's probably done this in our church. Don't laugh, Belinda. When you get a husband, make sure you can do that. Good. That's sign language for listen. God isn't next to you, bumping you. God's in you. You better learn to listen to him. Say, God, speak to us. How could he not? He lives in us. That's like saying I was in water and it wasn't wet. If God is in you, he's going to talk to you. His spirit will bear witness with our spirit. Say, you're getting kind of spooky. Call it what you want. It works. I mean, it's been working for me all these years. It's about time that we realize that God lives in us. Say he's in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? See, if you could get it, you would go, mm-hmm. But we go, he lives here, he lives there. And then you say, explain it. You can't explain it. He's God. I'm just enjoying it. I'm not going to go, I don't get it, it's not true. That's why Paul says, what? It's like, how, don't be so dumb. He lives in you. You can think he doesn't. You can try to theologicize it away. You can try to explain it and reason. It's true. Imagine. Look at verse 20. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I need to pray quick. I'm not done. Okay? I don't want some of you to go, we're done. We're not done. Father, please show yourself. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for being all that we need. Work in every heart. Some girl needs to hear from you today. Some guy needs to hear from you. They need to respond. They need to say yes, yes, yes. Please, Holy Spirit, speak to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hard to swallow, isn't it? That a pure and holy God would live in me. You been around these people? Oh, come in, come in. Knock, knock, knock. Hi, oh, hi, Pastor, come in. Oh, the house is a mess. I always go, my wife was just commenting on how filthy is it, and the pig wouldn't live here. I mean, is that how you respond to that? I didn't come to your house. Hi, knock, knock, knock. Hi, Pastor, don't want to see you, want to see the house. Hey, not about you, about who lives in you. You still ought to make him look as good as you can. You still ought to realize, man, I'm sorry, I'm so simple. God lives in me. He isn't just there, he's in me. Say, you'll see him someday. Already seen him. Say, now you're talking spooky. It's not spooky. Haven't you seen God work? God can do things that nobody else can do. God does that. I mean, is he supposed to jump out of you and go, hey, that was me? You be sensitive to him. You walk with him. You'll know him. God tells Abraham, remember Isaac? Yeah, I remember Isaac. We waited for him. You gave him. God said, I want him. Abraham said, oh, hold on. God said, no, I want you to slit his throat, drain his blood, and burn him on an altar. You know what Abraham said? Wouldn't you go home and tell your wife, the devil spoke to me today. Want to hear what he said? Told me to slit Isaac's throat and offer him as a sacrifice. Sarah probably would have said, that was God, honey. You know this story, Genesis 22, Abraham took off, did what God told him to do. So how would he know that? Because he was walking with God. You'll know. You'll know. God was here before, I know. I like cloning. I'm all for, I'm pro-cloning. I've got 200 of me on order. My people hate this because I'm going to their house. Going to be one of each of me at their house. I'm all for cloning. I like it. I've invested in it. Can you imagine if your pastor was everywhere you were? Sitting with you. You're watching something, he's watching with you. You think he might say, excuse me? Hey, you know what? God's with you. You just live like you live because you're ignoring him. Oh, God. Hi, God. So here's the assignment. Say, this is a chapel. You're not supposed to do this. Fire me. Think how it'd change your life if everywhere you went, you wore a sign that says, God lives here. Got one for you all. You need this. You don't. Hold your head out. No. Who needs it in this row? Man, the old boy. Yeah. Woo-hoo! I lost one. God left me. God wants to be with you. I don't know why. I don't know why. Come on! You need this. You do. You do. Let it stay there. Don't peel it off. You know where I'm going, don't you? You don't need this. You don't need this. You don't need this. Should I give your mom and dad one? They need it. He said, they need it. You imagine if you had to walk around with a great big sign that God lives here. Would it be true? Boy, it's easier to live without that sign, though, isn't it? Guy pulled out from me the other day. I didn't have my sign on. Hey, I'm not here because I'm perfect. Oh, how could you? Grow up. Yeah. He pulls out. You say, do you cuss him? No. Do you point at him with the wrong finger? No. I went home till late. I was convicted about that all day. That just bothered me. We were in a bad accident a couple months ago. My wife was in the hospital. Lady ran a stop sign, plowed into us. I'm real, real gun shy. So I thought if I could find that guy, I'd tell him that he might understand. And he might be saying, man, you did this. It's funny when God lives in you, anything that's not pure will bother you. I'm not picking on you. If I came up here, what, quarter till? Never make it. If I came up and said, hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Pastor Rooley, Lakeside Baptist Church. I've been there 34 years. I want to preach to you from the Bible. What? It's just one cigarette. I love God. kind of takes away from the message, doesn't it? Hey, Pastor Rulia, glad to be here. See, it's his real beer. I want to tell you how God can save your soul and help you through life.
Hold on.
It's just, I got those on clearance, so. It's just one beer. Excuse me, I'm going to turn to my Bible, but first I want to just do a little reading. Say, Pastor Rudley, I don't know what it is. Don't worry about it. You think I'd bring a cigarette and roll beer? I was thrilled when I heard Jesus died for me. We live in a world that tries to seduce us away from God. But if you can remember that God lives in you. If you can live like you've got a sign around your neck. And you show it not just in your spirit. Everybody's a good Christian. Read your Bible today? Yeah. Well, then you ought to look like it. You know what I think Christians ought to do? This is really rare. Maybe somebody will start this. I came up with it. I think Christians ought to smile. I know people come to our church, they go, you know what? We've been to church, we've never laughed before. I said, it's wrong to laugh. We don't believe in that. What do you think we're going to do in heaven? You think we're going to get to heaven, it's going to be like a college class? Man, we're going to be hugging and dancing, loving Jesus, talking. But while you're here, and you remember that God lives in you, it'll be harder for you to do the wrong thing. It'll be harder for you to go the wrong place. What if you got a sign around your neck that God lives here and you walk in a bar? It'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? You've got to remember that the same thing is true when you verbally attack someone. Oh, I don't drink, but boy, you've got a real potty mouth. You criticize, you're negative. Oh, but you don't drink. We gossip. Negative. Tail bearers. Hey, you know what I heard? Quit that. Just quit that. Live your life like you've got a sign around your neck, and that sign will tell everybody that you have surrendered your body and your spirit to God. Try it. I dare you. I dare you. I'm old enough to buy liquor, but I don't. I've got something better. Your head bowed, your eyes closed.